Mercury retrograde reading, spring reading for 2015. This season being the season of a kind of really interesting Mercury retrograde. First one in Gemini for a while, a fellow air sign of yours, and mulling over this planetary pattern for some time, I'm reminded of, for you, for Libra, the expression that comes out of a John Lennon and Yoko Ono song, which is that life is what happens while you're busy making other plans. And that a song, by the way, has an entirely Libra pedigree. According to Jonathan Kaner, that was Patrick Walker's line, said during dinner with John and Yoko to them, life is what happens while you're busy making other plans. And then John, a Libra, wrote it in a song for his son, Sean, also a Libra. So this is as Libra as it gets with those kind of props around it. And why I say this is because the Mercury retrograde takes place in the house in your chart associated with long-term plans, the ninth house. It's also associated with long-distance things like friendships and travel, journeys, publishing that reaches over long spaces of time and distance. And this retrograde is in there, kind of stirring the pot in this house where normally people would seek some sense of vision, a kind of stability, but it's the stability of the plans you want and your intentions for how you make them. And it looks as if that's not really going to be quite so easy, because Mercury is going to be there, Mars is going to be there, Mercury is going to be retrograde, and they're all going to kind of mix it up with Neptune in Pisces. So this may involve work plans of some kind, but the thing is that really the truth is that you're not the worker type. I would never describe you as a worker type. You can get the job done. That's different. You have this tie up the loose ends quality about you, but you must serve the cause of beauty, and you must serve the cause of justice and of truly of balance in the world. And with all this going on in your ninth house, you may be a little bit confused about certain things, like what you believe. What you may find is that you're questioning some of your most deeply held long-term beliefs about yourself, about life, about the cosmos, the ninth house type of a thing. And what I think is really going on here is that you have worked with two parallel belief structures, two parallel belief systems, you might say. You might think of one as the religious belief system, and one as the non-religious belief system. The one that is the thing that you inherited from people in the past, from your family, perhaps from your mother, maybe from your father, maybe both, maybe some grandparents. There's an ancestral quality that the ninth house has of beliefs that you have inherited. And then there is the non-religious belief system, the one that goes your own way, the one that is willing to contradict everything, and that you've been taught, that stands up for your more personal ethics. And then it is interesting that in certain times of your life, you can go from one to the other very quickly. You might view one as a refuge from another. It's as if you can be as be as non-religious, be as independent thinking as you want, and then when need be, you can quickly revert into a more religiously oriented belief system. And this may have metaphors for you. Maybe it may not literally be that you're, you know, a secular Jew part of the time, and then suddenly, you know, you find yourself going to synagogue. It may not be that, you know, you're not interested in what the Pope thinks, and then suddenly you take great comfort in going to church. Those may be true, but there's likely to be a parallel, a kind of orthodox versus non-orthodox. For example, it may come through in the way that you relate to your professional training and your educational background. You may stand far apart from that and think, okay, good, I know that, but I don't need to do anything with that information. It's not really that useful. And then one day you find yourself depending heavily upon your training. So there are these parallel realities, and what is happening now is that they are kind of blending into one thing, in a sense. They are bleeding together, basically. They're mingling like watercolors, and the precise gradients where that one meets the other or becomes the other are not clear, so that you are able to move more smoothly between these seemingly or previously separate belief systems and create something that's truly original for yourself. Now, in terms of planning, this is another factor of this house, that on the one hand, it affects your cosmology, your relationship to your educational background, your relationship to your religious background versus your spiritual background. But in addition, the long-term planning thing involves your vision. And there's something here about resolving two seemingly competing visions for your life. And indeed, there may be a third vision that emerges, something that you've never considered, something you were not interested in, something that you had no concept for necessarily, that has suddenly emerged and which you now need to act upon. It may be that things got too complicated. It may be that there were other intervening factors. It is possible that in some way a relationship has intervened, a relationship that exists on the level of something mystical or spiritual or that feels karmic in some way and that has altered your orientation on existence. You may have had some deep, unusual change that you weren't expecting and could have had no way of predicting as a result of an encounter with someone. And it's not even necessarily that this encounter is working out exactly as you planned, because remember that anything that involves a plan of some kind, a long-distance, long-term or long-distance plan, is coming up for question. While all this is going on, while all of this like planning and unplanning and unraveling of plans and making of plans, experimenting with your vision and, you know, wondering what it is you believe, you seem to be on an entirely new path, journey, involving a sense of mission of some kind. And it almost looks as if you have had this discovery, this surprise emergence of this talent that you didn't know you had, or, for example, a job offer that was well outside of any previous thing on your resume or any previous intent that you had, even going back to childhood. Or it may be some thing that has a dim presence in childhood that you then forgot about, but that now you feel called upon to do. And I would remind you that it is okay to follow this, to take this journey, to pursue this dream or this talent, because it has nothing to do with all of the kind of what you might think of as theoretical working out of what it is you believe and what it is you vision and what your plans are really supposed to be, and instead is just the thing that you feel called upon to do, that you feel invited to do and welcome to do. And it is no doubt a journey that is intense and that is full of surprises. And this fits the story of your life in recent years, because it's been very difficult for you to get any real predictability in your life between all of the activity in your seventh house, the combination of Uranus and of Eris in your seventh house, which has put you in a place where you know that you really cannot afford to have any ungrounded expectations, and that in truth, the grounded expectations that you have may not be standing on solid ground. So there's this condition you've gotten used to by necessity of an unpredictability factor operating all the time, especially where other people are concerned and especially where your environment is concerned. And then in your sixth house with Neptune and Chiron and Vesta and Nessus and Borysici, many planets present in your sixth house of well-being, the basic house of what you do and how you feel every day in the most pragmatic sense. You might think of it as covering the range of activities from getting up in the morning a little bit bleary-eyed and making coffee and having breakfast and feeding the cats, ranging all the way out to your workspace and what you devote yourself to daily. That, too, has been under the, let's say, energetic influence of many very potent planets, notable among them in particular Chiron, which is always saying that you really must get to the core of the matter, and Neptune, which is saying that that is not that easy to do. And so this sixth house thing may come with health questions, and it may come with health questions that do not lend themselves to easy solutions, to easy answers or easy diagnosis. And the overriding message of this particular house, while we're on the subject, is to make sure that you think outside of conventional means. It is very unlikely that what you are addressing is going to be solved by something that is typical and is, let's say, straight out of the book. It would seem that given the presence of Chiron, in particular in the presence of Pisces, Chiron's a visitor, about an eight-year visitor, that has about three more years left at most, and Pisces on this house all the time, that you need to think in terms of whole systems, to think in terms of truly holistic methods of addressing your life, nutrition, health, all forms of well-being, and the work that you do. Whatever you do has to be in harmony with everything else that you do. And what is interesting is that you have a chance to bring your work into harmony with who you are and to relieve a lot of pressure on yourself in so doing. Now, the way this looks is that you are responding to immediate personal necessities rather than to what you might think of as the psychological chaos that you've inherited from people in the past. People in the past, like your parents, particularly given that this is the ninth house, possibly your mom. So one thing you want to do with this Mercury retrograde is, without putting too much overemphasis on the topic, is suss out your mom's psychological situation and how that led her to make the choices that she made, to live the life that she lived, to have or abandon or follow the plans that she had for herself, and to notice the ways in which her methods, her thinking, her plans, her ideas about life are or are not yours. I would say if there is one split in the long-term vision thing represented by Gemini in the ninth house, that split may be between your values and those of your dominant parent. But the thing is that the values of this dominant parent did not come through direct teaching. They came through a kind of osmosis, and they came through what you might think of as an unresolved psychological legacy that you did not necessarily know that you were picking up. You may have had glimpses of it, though, and you're likely to have a really, really good glimpse of it now. That unresolved psychological legacy can lead you to a state of basically kind of burnout or wasting your energy in some way, or compromised health or compromised sense of mission. And what it looks like you have the chance to do now is to see all that for what it is and to kind of let it be what it is without getting too dragged down in it. Now, it's possible that you might get dragged down in it, that you might kind of get mingled up in it as a kind of a psychological drama, which I would say is not necessary, but rather is a temptation. Think of temptation that way. You know, usually think of it as strawberry shortcake or, you know, a new Corvette or sex or something. Okay, but this is another kind of temptation, which is the temptation to get caught in a psychological drama that doesn't actually belong to you. Or shall we say, if it belongs to you, it was given to you very likely without your knowledge and potentially against your will, were you to have the option to take or not take it. But, you know, that's what happened. And what I'm really seeing is a good bit of ancestral material. And what you can do is you can let that ancestral material be itself and consider it for what it is without getting too wrapped up in it and look at it and say, well, here's where I part ways from that legacy. That legacy is what it is. I don't need to do that as like a full-time thing. Rather, I'm going to do what I do, and I'm going to let this situation either work itself out or work itself out with the help of some spiritual practice or with the help of therapy. Remember that it's there. Remember that it has an influence on you, and remember that you have options. And it would seem that a lot of this has to do with the work that you do and understanding who it was quite exactly that influenced you to make the choices that you made in terms of the work you do, to believe what it is you believe as far as what your intellectual and creative contribution to the world is really about. And so look at this carefully. I mean, I'm seeing this kind of pop up a lot all over again. And there are other factors, including Saturn and Sagittarius in your chart in a house that has everything to do with your ideas. And given who you are, very possibly your chosen vocation, which is saying that it is time to question all of your beliefs and not take any of them for granted. And the more consciously you do this, the more you come out of the what you might think of as the dazed and confused state of belief that the world is in, that being the state of not knowing what one believes. Like, this is really a common problem on the planet, is people believe things, they don't know what they are or where they came from, and their beliefs are existing on the level of some kind of fundamental metaphysics, but they've never actually been questioned or even so much as identified as beliefs. It's really an incredible thing. You don't have that luxury now. Now it is essential for you to discern what you believe from what is a verifiable fact in some way, to discern what you believe that has grounding, in fact, from what you believe that has no grounding in reality whatsoever, and then to do your best to follow as far as you can that journey back. Now, and see where maybe this starts. Whose possession is this? And possibly kind of ritually or ceremonially give it back. Now, meanwhile, while this is happening, you're actually living your own life. Something actually distinctly different is happening. And it may be that you need to make your bifurcation of life between this one inherited legacy and this question of belief versus what you actually do. In other words, the life is what you choose to do while you're busy sorting out all of the stuff that's come from other people. So the idea that there's two kind of realities operating in parallel is going to be a helpful one, especially if you can see what those realities are and identify them for what they are, and then make some choices based on the fact that you know what's happening. You know what your mind is doing, and you know that there is a potentially very complex situation that you can find yourself in that doesn't necessarily have an easy resolution, and you may just need to sort of jump over the idea that I will actually be able to live my life once I've resolved all of this confusion. I've seen a lot of people make this mistake, that it really is necessary to work with the questions, spiritual or ancestral or metaphysical questions, whatever they might be, on their own level, and live your life on the level that you choose, which is very likely to be different, rather than thinking, I will finally accomplish something great when I've healed this confusion. And it may be that it is the living that obviates any kind of overdone questioning that you may have been pondering for a long time. And the living part, the actual getting out in the world and living, being known for who you are, which is a person devoted to caring, a person devoted to beauty, and a person who really does live the truth that there is such a thing as right and wrong. The world is really doing its best to blur this right now. Like people thinking it's okay to get paid $100 million and still cheat at the game that you're paid to play. I really don't think that you would buy that for one second. Cheating is not okay, and you know that, and there's a lot of things that aren't okay and that are okay, and you need to make your decisions that are based on your values and not on the confused values of other people who have come before you. And that is what I have to say for this Mercury retrograde. If you're a Libra sun, please do check out your rising sign. That's easy to find. Just type your birth time, date, and place into astro.com. Come out with the rising sign and listen up to that sign. You might also want to listen to the signs of significant others. But mainly, you know, check out your sun and your rising. And you know where to find me. I'll see you over at a different sign or at a different moment in the universe. Bye for now.